You're listening to Wheelationships.
Well, you sound like a quiet group this morning.
Did I change that way,
Julia?
Oh, hi, Mary Jane. Reminder that we do have... Turn it on. We do have this on the web, except for last week. We forgot to... Okay, I forgot. We were one, you know. I forgot to record last week, so last week is not on the web. So if you missed last week, sorry. This week you have a handout. Hope you have it at each table. We're talking about... have the music. Main title. Like it. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of the specific boundary relationship, fence, property line kind of issues in different situations. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the people you grew up with. Last week, we talked about... And a lot of our fence issues start there with the people we grew up with. A lot of them continue from there. And then last week we talked about some of the issues we have with friends. Is there anything from those 2 weeks that we haven't cleared up yet that kind of stuck in your mind and you're like, you've been mulling?
I just have something to say.
Sure.
I have something to say.
Okay.
This lady on TV said that it's baggage. She brought a whole cart full of baggage from our youth.
Was she pointing?
No!
Yeah. Ah, yeah. Baggage. Yeah, you got baggage, and, you know, if you carry it along, it becomes heavy over your life. Yes?
You know, for many years, you do things, and I'm, at least me, I go along with things and never even think about it. It annoys me, or it does annoy me, whatever. But yes, last week it brought to a total realization what it really does. So this week... I was working with Ron. He had a bad day. He was really explosive and everything. I said, okay, one more time, I'm out of here. And I did. He blew up again. I said, I'm gone. See you later. And I walked out the door.
For you.
It was like, I've never did it thinkingly, you know, but this was kind of cool. So it helped me a lot. Huh.
And you did it even before we talked about the people you work with.
As a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, as a friend, you know. Okay, so this morning, the people we work with. This, you know, the relationships we have with people we grew up with and the people we live with now in marriage, those can be, feel more intense at times because we tend to be more intimate and close with those people. But on the other hand, the people you work with, you may spend more time with them than the people that you live with. You know, you spend those long days at work, and you may see the people you live with maybe less during the week than you do these people. So the people we work with can have a big influence. So first of all, before we talk about the issues and some of the things that we run into with that show up with the people we work with, we want to... Oh, I had something else that's vaguely related, and it was funny, so I thought I would do that. People you work with, there's all kinds of issues. That may be one of them. but here, a biblical theology of work. Most of you may know this, but just so we're on the same footing, we have to think correctly about work, I think, before we even talk about fence issues. So real quickly, if biblical theology of work, and if you look at what God says about work, you realize, first of all, that it's part of the blessing. It's part of the blessing, not part of the curse. A lot of times we approach it like it's part of the curse. Like, you know, Adam and Eve fell, and now we all have to work, and blah. But it was actually part of the blessing. If you look at Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them. And as part of the blessing, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so that relationships and sex and stuff like that. Fill the earth. Sex is part of the blessing. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So reigning over the earth and the work of man and woman was part of the blessing. When in other places in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the steward and the good steward and the one that wasn't faithful. Remember the story how he gave one 10 talents and he gave one 5 talents and he gave one talent. And to the ones that were faithful, what did he do? He gave more talents. He gave more work because they were faithful. That was part of the blessing. It's a principle of Scripture that when you do your work well, you get more work. And that's a good thing. But from the one that was unfaithful, it gets taken away. And you find that true in life. I mean, you find that true at work. The one that does well gets more work. And the one that just totally, you don't want to go to them again because they're going to mess up. So, and they get it taken away and they lose their job. So the curse of the fall wasn't that we had to work. The curse of the fall was that it became much harder. If you go on in Genesis in chapter 2 where they fell, 2, 3, I don't know. Anyway, where they fell, what God said was, now it's going to get really hard. By the way, if you read that, the curse on work was that it gets harder. Curse on childbirth was that it gets harder. If you read it, it doesn't say that now there's going to be pain. It says that the pain is going to be more focused. So, anyway, that's an aside that has nothing to do with anything. But I just thought it was interesting when I was looking at all that. Just in case it comes up on a trivia show. So, work is part of the blessing. Secondly, work is part of our calling. Work is part of our calling. You see the verse there in Colossians that says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. See, God doesn't see our work as secular and sacred. You know, he doesn't have that division when he looks at what we do. He doesn't look at what I do and say, oh, you're doing something sacred. And he doesn't look at what you do and say, he doesn't look at Tom in all his many efforts, varied businesses, and say, oh, that's secular. God doesn't look at work that way. If you're a school teacher, he doesn't say, oh, well, you do secular stuff. If you do, you know, construction or you do sales, he doesn't look at what you do and say, oh, that's secular. He sees it all as what you're called to do. Yes, sir.
But isn't there a judgment on the teachers and the preachers? A higher judgment on the teachers and the preachers? Can you talk about that too?
There's a certain responsibility that we have. There's a certain accountability that we have. Okay. But there's also a certain accountability that we have as fathers and mothers. There's also a certain accountability we have as leaders. And the accountability for every worker is this right here that you see, to work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. 20 years ago, when I left Martin Marietta, which is now Martin Lockheed, where I was a computer systems analyst, and I left that field and became a youth pastor, I didn't leave secular work for sacred work. I left one endeavor of work for a different endeavor of work. And I've always had a little, it's been a hard answer for me when people said, well, how did you know you were called? Well, the phone rang and somebody was on the other end. And that's, you know, the usual way you know your call. It's like, I got to pick it up. So I simply changed the method of where and what I sacredly worked at. I was in sacred work. I am in sacred work. You are in sacred work. Your job, no matter what it is no less sacred. I want you to get this. It's no less sacred than the missionary that's in some far-off field doing, you know, working with natives and preaching the gospel. You are in as sacred of work as they are. You're in as sacred of work as I am, simply because God has a particular call in your life. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those that we normally call, you know, these are sacred individuals. They are given, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, they are given to the church to enhance the work that everybody else does. These are given that, and Pastor, I think, just mentioned this Wednesday. These are given for that purpose. I would argue that if you want to talk who's doing really truly sacred work, then it's school teachers and salesmen and construction workers, and because all that apostles, evangelists, pastors, preachers, teachers do is the enabling part to let the others do real work. Okay? Read it. It's there. Ephesians 4:12. People sometimes ask what my calling was like to do what I do as an administrative pastor now. Then it was a youth pastor. Then it became an associate pastor. Now it's an administrative pastor or whatever else you want to call it. Gopher pastor. Some ask me what my calling was like. Well, what was your calling like to do what you do? Mine was pretty similar. Okay. You have a calling to do what you do. Now, maybe you're not in what you've been called to do. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what we do, our work is part of our calling. That's the biblical theology of work. So let's move to some... Yes?
If you're saved, I can understand that. But if you're not saved, you can end up doing something that you don't have a calling. You're just doing it. Then you become saved.
Either way, you could end up doing stuff that you're not called to do if you don't answer what God called you to do. Either way. It's...
How would you know?
It's more likely that we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay? Let me save that. All right? Let's look at some fence problems we have in the workplace. Number one, fence problems in the workplace. Getting tagged with someone else's responsibilities. This is how you know you might have a fence problem. If you continually get tagged with somebody else's responsibilities, it's easy to get tagged or sucked into handling someone else's responsibilities, especially when you're in a workplace that has an environment of all for one and one for all, which is a good thing. You know, having that environment where, you know, we all pitch in and we all do, that's good. The problem is this can be used and manipulated by those that really don't want to do any work at all. You know that, right? Slackers. And so you end up picking up what they should be doing. It's also easy to take responsibility, and it's easy because they can manipulate, they can, you know, work the system. Or when you feel you can do it better or quicker, it's easy to take their responsibility because you're waiting for something to get done, and what they do impacts what you do. And so rather than wait around and have it impact you, you go ahead and do it because if I don't do it, man, they're never going to get it done. Or they're going to mess it up, so I just might as well do it. Yeah. Or you might be afraid that their failure is going to somehow impact you and come back on you, and the boss is going to get all over your case because of their failure. So you pick up their responsibility. Yeah? So what's the fence problem here?
Poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
That's the fence that should be there. And so if we're doing this, what fence problem are we having? Well, we've stopped being responsible to them and we've started being responsible for them.
Yep.
We are taking responsibilities that are not ours. And you say, well, but So, yeah.
But being on the sales side of the equation and the customer's getting ready to turn and walk out the door.
Yeah.
The salesman has to come out and be responsible for all of it and get the customer turned around and back to the counter to buy something. If one of his coworkers has failed or hasn't shown the product properly or whatever the case may be.
Maybe.
But that's still, that falls back into the salesman's category at that point.
Maybe.
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 Maybe that's just the responsibility okay. of the get-go anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, leave it to the funny-speaking gecko. Then. What should I do? Well, let's talk about what should I do. Well, first of all, reestablish what I'm responsible for. You need to reestablish what I'm responsible for. I'm responsible, and I think you need to understand, first of all, I'm responsible for my feelings. Feelings are in my fence. I'm responsible for how I am feeling about this. You know, this makes me so mad. Okay, well, that belongs to me. The anger belongs to me. The frustration belongs to me. Obviously, the other person is not being frustrated at all. They're pretty happy. All right. The blame for how I feel about the situation is mine. If how I feel about it belongs to me, then that means that I can do something about it. Now, the problem is I'm trying to manage things which don't belong to me. If this is a chronic situation, and we'll mention this again, but there's always times where, as I said, you have to pitch in. There's always times somebody may miss something. Somebody may make a mistake, and you have to step in. But we're talking about a chronic situation where I am getting tagged continually and more often with somebody else's responsibilities. And I have to say, whoa, okay, let's stop. I'm getting frustrated by this, getting angry at this. It's making me hate work. That's my issue here. So what am I grabbing that doesn't belong to me? What am I doing that doesn't belong to me? Let's establish that. I'm trying to manage things. I'm trying to control things that don't belong to me. And secondly, I need to act out my responsibility to my coworker. All right, and I want you to listen to this whole thing before you shut me down here and say, well, you don't understand my situation, okay? I probably don't. But listen to the whole thing today. Act out my what is my responsibility to my coworker? Well, I need to tell my coworker that I'm not going to take care of their responsibilities. What sometimes happens is we kind of bail. When we get to this point where we get fed up and we've been taking their responsibility, then it's easy to kind of bail and not let them know that you're not going to take care of the responsibilities because we enjoy the look on their face and the fact that they get stuck and get in trouble. It's like, But my real responsibility to them is saying, you know, this has been going on and I just want to let you know I'm not going to take care of this. So you need to decide how you're going to handle your responsibility if you can't handle it. That's what I'm really responsible to them to do. To let them know, okay, I've been doing this. I've been taking this responsibility. I shouldn't have been taking this responsibility. It's your responsibility, and I'm stealing from you when I do that, when I take your responsibility. It doesn't belong to me. I don't want to be a thief. So this is going to be your responsibility. By the way, this applies to everybody but Tammy this morning.
No,
Tammy's my secretary, so she gets tagged with a lot of stuff. Now you know how to handle it.
Excuse me.
Secondly, because just bailing on them without notice doesn't help them. So we're trying to help them. Secondly, keep your emotional distance. They may get angry at this. Don't let their anger become your anger. It's their anger. It belongs to them. They get upset about this. They get upset that you're not bailing them out anymore. They get all frustrated and have all their blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's your anger. I'm really sorry that this upsets you.
Don't you think you could inherit that job? That's the new job that you're doing so well.
That's right, and it has been. And thirdly, don't get into a justification kind of thing for why you're doing this. And I should have put this one on the screen just so you could see it. Okay, this is a quote. You owe no one an explanation about why you will not do something that is not your responsibility. Amen. You need to write that down. You owe no one an explanation for why you will not do something that is not your responsibility. If you want to get, well, why won't you do this for me anymore? Why won't, la, 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 la. Okay, because the simple answer is, it's not my responsibility. And what can sometimes happen is they'll push you to explain and justify why you're not going to take that responsibility anymore. And the reason is if they can get you to try to justify it and try to explain it and try to come up with 15 reasons of why you're not going to do that anymore, then they're going to try to find some loophole or find the particular situation that's going to fit so you actually will take the responsibility.
How does this work in a team environment? I mean, if it's a team workplace or a team work environment and everybody's responsible for everything, how does this work?
That's a weird environment, okay? Because there's always specific responsibility.
Okay.
I mean, you're always going to find if it truly is. Where everybody's responsible for everything, then yeah, you're responsible for everything. So what's the problem? Okay, we're talking about where there are responsibilities that don't belong to you. Okay, there are certain responsibilities that do not belong to you, and if you take them, you're stealing. Yeah?
Do you approach this matter the same way if it's a family member that you work with?
Then you got a whole nother dynamic. But yes.
I got notes from last week.
The thing is that you'll notice that a lot of these principles are worked through several situations. I mean, the whole idea of fences and what you are responsible for and who you're responsible to works with families. It's just kind of a different dynamic when you get into different settings. So you may have a different style of conversation with a coworker than you would with a family member. But don't get into this justification match. There is a normal amount, as I said, there's a normal amount of covering, bailing someone out, assisting someone when they need special assistance. There's a normal amount of that in the workplace. Okay, there's always time where, you know, you're going to pitch in and you're going to cover and you're going to, you know, it's not really your responsibility, but there's a normal amount of that. That's fine. That's good. Especially if you're in an organization which tends to be short-staffed or extremely busy, there's times when you're going to pitch in and you're going to do a favor for a coworker. That's great. That's perfect. But this is when you're chronically tagged with somebody else's responsibilities. Okay? Can we move on? Good? Second thing which may point out a fence problem is too much overtime. Too much overtime. Dr. Cloud, the guy we sometimes watch on the screen that wrote the book on boundaries, he tells a story of a time when he hired a woman to work in his office for 20 hours. And on her second day, he went to her and he piled a bunch of work on her desk and said, "Here you go." And 10 minutes later, she knocked on his door and said, "Excuse me, you have a problem. You hired me for 20 hours, and you just gave me 40 hours of work. Which 20 would you like done?" He said, "I hired the right person." Because she was absolutely right. It was my problem. And she called him on it. And you might have to, if you're hired for 40 hours and you're given 60 hours, your employer has a problem.
It's only his problem.
Now, she. Here's the thing. It might. Here's the thing. She was responsible, and she acted out her responsibility to her boss to let him know, okay, you've given me twice the work that you really want me to do. So, and you need to think about what's most important to you. So she needed to tell him. She did not need to sit there and stew and go, they hired me 20 and I'm working 40. Can you believe this? And go to her coworker and start, you know, the gossip. But what if he had said, well, that's too bad. You need to get it done. What should she do? She would need to make some choices. And if you are constantly, chronically working too much overtime, then you need to make some choices. One of those choices may be you need to work very hard at finding another job. You may need to work very hard at training yourself and getting some different skills that would help you find another job, pounding the pavement or whatever it may be. One of the choices you should make is making it clear to those over you that are tasking you with this work, here's what it is. And now the response may be, I can't help you. I mean, there's so much work and I can't pay anymore. And so you will have to say, okay, well, which part of this do you want me to get done? Because it is what it is. Yes, sir.
As management.
Yeah, I want to hear from you.
I agree with what you're saying, sir. I've had people working for me all my life. And there's been times I've walked into the big stack that a person could say, which half do you want me to do? It might be so small as changing labels on them. It's a, you know, five-hour job, not a 20-hour job. It's just the volume doesn't equal how many hours it's going to take. You've got to work on it first and see. After working there a few days, and you see what's in there, now you can go to the boss. But you got to try first. And you better try real hard if you're working for me. Amen.
But you know what really 5 hours of work is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And in this... I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, okay?
He goes out to get a job done. It's going to be a 20-minute job, honey. I'll see you in 20 minutes. And he comes back 6 hours later because it's snowballed.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You know, and there is... Yeah, he sounds like me trying to do projects around the house. Yeah, and one of the choices you really need to make is, yeah, I mean, maybe... We'll get to that too. There's something else I want to say about that too, because he's right in a certain way. And you know, Stu, you can get somebody that just they can't do it now. And the choice may be, if it really does take me 10 hours when it should take me 5 hours, either you need to figure out how to work smarter, work better, or get a different job.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to say before Tom saving. I was thinking you're making the assumption here with overtime. That this is a person who's using their time wisely and is a good steward of their time, is a hard worker. I mean, I've worked at companies before where, you know, in a particular department, the overtime was huge, but it was because the cigarette breaks were long, the lunch breaks were too long. You know, they were squandering their quality work hours so that they could have the overtime for the time and a half, and there was a lot of overtime, but the choice was they weren't using their time wisely.
Yeah. Speaking of using time wisely, I got about 2 minutes. No, but we've been using our time wisely. In this and similar situations, the worker has a responsibility to, we have to be careful not to view ourselves as the victims of an impossible situation. Too much overtime. Okay, we are not the victim. You are not the victim of an impossible situation. You may be in a bad situation. You may be in a really hard situation. You have choices. Jesus taught this to the disciples. I don't think I put this one in your notes, but it's a verse you hear a lot. I heard it recently, somebody talking about this verse. I don't know if it's pastor or who, but they mentioned this verse. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, you may be in a situation that seems, you know, and you get rejected, and you run into a stone wall. He said, well, if the village doesn't welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your place from the feet as you leave. And the principle was, don't waste your time. You have choices. And yeah, you may want to save that village and you may want to win the world there, but if you're running into that wall, have fun as you leave. Real quickly, let me give you, misplaced priorities is number 3. That may be a place fences around the priorities of your job. Say yes to excellence. Say yes to doing well. Say yes to the vital important tasks, and that may be what you're running into and why it's taking you so long, is you need to say yes to the vital tasks. Say no to the, you know, surfing around on Facebook and stuff like that. Say no to the distractions. Say no to the parts of the job that may be fun, but they really don't drive to what you're really there for. Realize your limits and maintain your limits. Because work is going to grow to the time that you allow it. We all know that. And what she just said, you know, if you give it 6 hours, it'll take 6 hours. Sometimes you need to focus in and limit it to what's good and excellent and shave away all the stuff that's kind of impinging on you. Exodus, you have that verse there. The next day Moses sat down. You know the story that Jethro had to sit down with Moses and say, and Moses said, what I'm doing is good. And Jethro said, it's doing good, but you have to put limits on good things to keep them good. And you may have a real fun at certain parts of your job, but because you're not limiting the fun parts, you're not getting to what the real good parts and the most important parts are. So limit the good things to keep them good. I want to go further, but I can't. So we'll pick that up right in the middle there. Okay. Well, have a good day and have a good week. Thanks for coming. We'll see you.